what? Yesterday was just amazing. And what so amazes me is that how people come together. And so much of the time, and you see your piece here, your piece there, and your piece over here, but sometimes you don't sense and feel how it all just comes together and grabs. But then, when given the opportunity to rise up, it happens. And this church is no different. We saw it rise up yesterday and making a life. And it's also an humbling experience. It's humbling in so much that you can have 20 kids in front of you and you stand up to speak, and within 45 seconds, they were gone. That's humbling. But yet, you learn. You learn so much from children and from adults and from people coming together. It's so nice. And because that's much of what we're learning here. We're reaching across a guy named Ed. Not a guy, it's a witness. Ed, in Joshua chapter 22, you're seeing in this story, it's the story about the children of Israel who came out of captivity. And then they were going to go into the land, the promised land. On the eastern side of the Jordan River, there was some land which they conquered that Reuben, Gad, and a half-tribe of Manasseh said, "We want to live here. Let us live here." And so they asked Moses. And Moses says, "Okay, we'll give you this land. God will let you live here. But first of all, you've got to join up with your brothers. And you've got to cross over the Jordan River on the western side of the Jordan River. And you've got to conquer all the land from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean." And they said, "We'll do that." 4.5 years, they fought with their brothers. They left those who were at home, meaning the children, enough just to maintain that category there. But then all of a sudden the day came in which they said, "It's time now for us to go home." What a great feeling that must have been. When they said, "The war's over. Let's go home and see our family." For so many of them, the first time in 4.5 years, they could go home, but they could go home victorious. On the way back, they said, "You know, when we cross over the Jordan River, something's liable to happen in the future in which they're going to say, 'Hey, because this river's in between us, Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh, you're not going to have any part. So this is what we'll do. We'll build a massive altar. And on this altar, we will not sacrifice, but on this altar, when people ask, 'Why is it here?' the response will be, 'So that both on the eastern and the western side of the Jordan River, so that we might all fear God. Because the elders of the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh knew this, that if on the western side of the Jordan River, if all of a sudden they said to our children, 'We have no part with you,' then our children would say, 'We will not fear God.'" And they were not willing to let that happen. So this massive altar was called Ed. King James Version. Transliteration of the word head in Hebrew. Translated in most modern translation, witness. So when you find the last verse in that chapter and it says witness, that's Ed in Hebrew. And so therefore we are learning from this category. Now what Ed teaches us though, it teaches us some real interesting things right here. Ed teaches us that what we need to do is to make a covenant. And as we make this covenant, keep the covenant no matter what the cost. And that's what we focused on last week. He teaches us, we're this massive thing, keep the covenant. Secondly, though, he said, now when you go back home, talking to Reuben, Gad, half-tribe Manasseh, when you go back home, share with the people who kept the home fires burning while you were away at battle. Share with them. They deserve it. And so, he said, share the wealth in which God has blessed you with back home with the other family members who kept the children and who protected them for all this period of time. And then he taught us something else. He taught us in this picture that we need to project the future generations with a path in which they can follow. And so that's the reason they built Ed, this huge witness. Now, what is a modern day picture of that? A modern day picture of that, we could go back to the Plymouth Colony. And in that modern day picture, we could see something very special on this next slide, I think, guys. There it is. On the modern day Ed, just remember, this is in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and we're going to break it down in pieces. But there it stands, a witness of the Pilgrims, for us to tell our generations into the future, this is the way in which liberty was sought and won and stabilized and maintained. This is what we gave up. This is what we did. You can do it too, because we need that today. So in the modern day, we need faith, who's going to be on the top. And we're going to see one who represented morality, one that represented law, one that represented education, and then one that's going to represent liberty. And we will recognize that into the future. But when we do this, we need to understand that they had faith. And what this faith is designed to do is for people to have a good witness unto their children, unto the land, unto the country, unto their God. But when you do this, this is what's going to happen. Your faith is going to be challenged. Now, because your faith is going to be challenged, I think on this 4th of July, we need to make a new declaration. Except, let it not be the declaration of independence. Let it be the declaration of dependence. And our dependence is that on the Lord God. And so much if we just changed a couple of words. In the civil authority of July the 4th, 1776, we read, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness captured our forefathers," put this in print. But I think we've gone to seed with happiness. I think we've gone to seed by saying to each of us, this is the end result of the land in which we live. The land of the free and the home of the brave is the land of the spree and those who are just seeking happiness and not holiness. So what could this declaration be for us? "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of holiness." Now, in your own life, do you ask yourself the question, is that what I am seeking? Am I pursuing holiness? Well, the Lord Jesus put it this way in Luke 9:24. He said, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." In other words, if you're trying to hold on, you're not going to make it. But if you lose your life in the Lord Jesus, you'll find happiness, yes. But the course of happiness goes through the halls of holiness. And I want to give you real quick a picture of this. It turned with me into Proverbs, book of Proverbs, chapter 2 and verse 11. Proverbs chapter 2 verse 11. Because when we take this course of pursuing holiness, we got to ask ourselves, what is this all about? How does all these things come together? How does all these things work? Proverbs chapter 2. I'd like to read to you verse 11. It says, "Discretion will preserve you and understanding will keep you." Now that sounds pretty good. But what does it mean? Discretion. Now discretion is going to do, it'll preserve you. Don't we want the preservation of the United States of America? Yes, we do. How's that going to happen? It's going to come from discretion. It's going to come from understanding. Because two common applications. Discretion is that of a good plan will protect you. A good plan will protect you. But now, you got to make a plan before the challenge ever comes there. Do you have a plan of facing tomorrow? Oh, Well, I'm going to give you some characters in just a moment. In fact, I'm going to give you two groups that I want you to look at as we kind of capture this picture. Two common applications to encourage a person to find security. One is going to be discretion. In other words, a good plan. But secondly, there's going to be understanding. And understanding is an intelligence to skillfully carry out the plan will guard. Intelligence, boy, we need to work on a little bit of that, don't we? Intelligence! How to know what the plan is, and then how to put it in gear. How to practice it. Do you have a plan? Now you can say, okay, that makes real good sense, and I'm happy, and I'm holy, and I want to pursue holiness. But why do I even need it? And the reason why is because we need this path, we need a protection plan for two groups of people. Now, I tell you, if you haven't read it, I'm going to let you guess. Who are going to be the two groups of people that we're going to need to watch out for? Why do we need a security plan? Group number one is going to be... Come on, help me out here. You're guessing. And I know you don't have the answers unless you read the next verse. Group number one is going to be the evil men. And group number two is going to be immoral women. Oh, no. Now, do we need a plan for that? Sure we do. Sure we do. Because look, now we're still in Proverbs just for a moment. Verse 12. Proverbs 2:12 says, to deliver you from the way of evil. Now, what is the way of evil? The way of evil, if you go down this line right here, you will see from the man who speaks perverse things. Now, as you read that through here, and it goes on to say, from the man, and it says, from those who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, who are devious in their paths. Let's just stop right there. We're going to talk about the men first. And then we'll talk about the women. Okay? But when we begin to talk about the men, you got about seven categories right here. The first category, men who talk evil. And that's communication. In other words, their conversation seeks to draw out the worst in men. Now, I don't know if you know anybody like this, but I sure do. When you get around some, they try to seek to bring out the worst. Their words are tunnels to their character. They seek to destroy and not build up. They brag on their conquered. And they show ignorance by profanity. You know what? We got some guys in here that's been wrestling with profanity. I won't call anybody's name. But they know who I'm talking about. Profanity. But this communication is so important. And we need to have a plan on how we're going to conquer that. And he gave it to us. He gave us an outline. But then they talk about how they got away with things years ago. They disrespect the authority of men. They disrespect the authority of government. They disrespect women. We need a plan. We need a plan how to deal with evil men. Secondly, men who do evil. Their conscience are seared. They know what is right, but they make a conscious choice of evil, a choice in time and space without thinking about the consequences. They just do it. They leave the path of righteousness to pursue happiness, in other words, and that'll carry them down any alley. Do y'all know anybody that feeds on the flesh of lust, pills, pornography, smoke, bottle, gambling, pimps, prostitutes, private property, boys, girls, other men's wives, use, abuse, and they seek to rush on to the next rush? You're gonna face these this next week. You may not have a name and title right now, but they're coming down your path. Do you have a plan how to deal with that? And then there are men, the scripture says right there, who walk in darkness. That reveals their character. They walk through life in the path of darkness. No redemption is found in their step. Life is all about them. Life is all about their happiness. And they don't give a hoot about anybody. Their next corrupted business deals, fizz, buzz, highs, conquered encounter. That's what they're looking for. They're walking. Their character of darkness. Then men who enjoy doing evil. They don't just do evil. They enjoy doing evil. I was talking with Sonny yesterday, and he said, he's one of the guys that helped us on the block party. And Sonny said, you know what? Things are different from the way in which when I was growing up. He says, Sometimes back then we used, you know, there was some stuff. But he said today, many people are just mean. And you know what? There's a difference. Because today, there are those who just plain mean. They enjoy corruption. They get the rushes by doing bad things. They'd rather tell a lie than tell the truth. They know it's right, but they enjoy doing wrong. They feed off power and authority. Value system is corrupted. They enjoy filling their eyes with lust. Folks, there's corruption, and they like it that way. And then there's men who delight in those who do wicked things. Companions. They seek out people who would join in their evil actions. They want to band together with people of like passions. That's the reason why you have some of the gangs get together. They want identity, and they want those of like passions that they can capture, and they can go, and they look for another person who they can burn, they can bend and burn toward hell. They gang and bang and malign, and they secretly meet together. Listen, folks, they're looking for that. And then there's men who said right here in verse 15, men are crooked. Y'all know anybody like that? Just plain old crooked. False measures, false weightiness, commitments are broken, their angle is deceitful, and they are filled with lies. One guy said, is a guy so crooked they're going to need a corkscrew to get him down in the grave. I mean, you know, they're just, some just are plain crooked. And then Proverbs says right there that there are men who are scheming and underhanded. In other words, they're conniving. Secretive, calculated, not straightforward, not sincere, not honest about their intentions or motives. They're unfair, not adhering to what is right in the usual course of procedure and standards. They seek out another prey. They deposit another deceitful deal, and they feed on the pride of life. Y'all know anybody like that? Have you got a plan? Have you got a plan? Now, you may know them. But what, how are you going to deal with that? And then Proverbs turns right around and he says, not only do you need a plan for crooked men, but then he goes on and says in verse 16, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who's flattered with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God, for her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. No one who go to her, none who go to her return, nor do they regain the path of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep the path of righteousness. Who are these women? We need to remember, though, there is a plan, but the path of the moral, women who are immoral, morality plays no part in their plan for happiness. They use whatever they get so that they can get what they want. People are just a means to their end. They use their family, friends, acquaintances, name-dropping to get what they want. There are no rules and there's no absolutes. Women who are immoral. Women who are seductive with flattery words. They tell you what you want to hear. They build you to get what they want. They are exciting, enticing, and alluring. Women. Women who break with their childhood friends for another path. To me, that's one of the saddest ones right there. You grow together up with your friends. And you walk a path that's good. But for one reason or another reason, all of a sudden the immoral woman says, I don't need you no more. And she turns and she walks away. They break their marriage bond for sensual or societal pleasure. They leave their friends behind to pursue corruptive courses. They check their friendship at the door. Women, women who forget their covenant with God, that's what he says right there in verse 17, and forgets the covenant with God. God is forgotten, or at least the actions appear as though they don't exist. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Their commitment to God are replaced by the immediate desires and the pursuit of happiness. They break the covenant with God. They seek the pleasures of the world, and their friends are with the world and not with God. But this woman, These immoral women are women whose houses lead to death in the dwelling. Those who enter her domain enter at the risk of eternal damnation. Her dwelling is the place of the dead, no matter how bright the lights are and masking of the smell. Her dwelling sucks the life out of the living. Her dwelling becomes a cave of darkness. And whose path? It says it in Proverbs. Whose path leads to the land of the dead. It travels that direction. Her ways lead to the dwelling of the dead. The path is charted from the living God to walk with the walking of the dead. The heart becomes cold. The feelings become frigid. Life and death are one and the same, and their parts in existence, the emotion is gone. It's cold. And these women, women who chart the course of no return, damnation. The God of heaven is replaced by the little gods of the sensual Satan. They stranglehold. They have a prey so strong, no one returns. Hope is taken away. She leads down one way with no return. She leaves the valley of death. It is as though they send their day away of grace. How horrible. But now let's wait a minute. You met her last week. You know her. She spoke to you. Do you have a plan? Do you have a plan? What is your plan to deal with the wicked man? What is your plan to deal with the immoral woman? I can pretty well establish this fact. If you don't have a plan, and if you don't practice the plan, you'll fall by the wayside. That's the reason this guy named Solomon, who knew what he was talking about, wisest man that ever lived, said, look, there's something important that we need to understand. Proverbs 2:11 said, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you to deliver you from the evil way. Now, that's the plan. And so therefore we're talking about making a declaration of pursuing God and pursuing holiness. David the king talked about this. You might say, where are we in this journey? We're making a new declaration, a declaration upon the dependence of God. Liberty, life, and the pursuit of holiness. In this pursuit of holiness, what does it mean? It means to fear God. David the king wrote in Psalm 111 verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments, and His praise endureth forever. His son Solomon said, Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So, how does all of this fit together? Fear of the Lord. They had a plan. They had a plan. Let's build this altar. This massive, big altar. So that our sons and your sons will remember to fear the Lord and pursue holiness. But a life of pursuing holiness will be challenged. And I want you to understand that Ed teaches, Ed teaches our faith will be challenged when it appears to travel down a different path. Okay, I'm carrying you back now. Joshua. Okay? Back in Joshua, I'm carrying you back. I'm carrying you back to a moment of what was said right there. They built this altar. They went home. Someone, not a bunch of people, but someone ran back across the river and they said to a leader of the children of Israel, Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh have built an altar to sacrifice and to turn from God. They're no longer. And this is what's going to happen to us. Because they turn from God, God is going to send punishment on all of us. Is that what they did? No. But is that what was interpreted? Yes. Here it goes. And so someone said, what is going to happen? Well, someone? Let me give you a for instance. What is your family planning that's going to carry them into the next generation? Do you have a plan for your children Do you have a plan for your grandchildren? Do you have a plan in which is going to help them pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of holiness? Do you have a plan? The pilgrims did. I'm reverting back now to the pilgrims. What, do y'all know why the pilgrims got out of Holland, got out of England? Do y'all remember? Okay, all right, what was it? Religious persecution. Do you know anything else? You're absolutely correct. You're in 99% of the percentile. Is there another reason? I like to challenge Holly, okay? Is there another reason? Well, why are you thinking about it? Thank you, brother. Why are you thinking about it? Let me give you some reasons why these guys were different. You know the reason they were different? Is because they wanted to worship God the way they worship God in the New Testament. What got them in trouble? Well, this is what got the pilgrims in trouble. Number one, they rejected the Book of Common Prayers. In other words, they would come into a worship service and they'd open up this prayer and this guy might even speak in Latin, which nobody understood. Or this guy might be reading through this Book of Common Prayers. And you know what the pilgrims said? No more of that. Us common prayers have been corrupted. We're not going to do that. We're not going to listen to this guy spout out something and not practice it. What else? You know what else the pilgrims did? The separatists did? They refused singing hymns. By the way, all the songs that you sang this morning, out the window. Now we're beginning to say, I don't know about those pilgrims. And we put up our dukes. But why? You know what they did? They refused to sing hymns. They chose to sing the Psalms or translation of the Word. Metric didn't mean anything to them. The Word meant everything. What else did they do? They rejected kneeling when they took communion. Now that's the way they did it in that country. But they said, the Bible doesn't say you got to kneel down and somebody's got to give you communion. They rejected the idea of every time the name of God was spoken, that they did a cross. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They rejected that. They rejected the idea of popes and bishops as a form of government. They believed that God hath chosen believers and no one knew who that person was. Only God knew. But those who disciplined their life was a good indicator that God had chosen them. They rejected the corruption of the church by tradition. Okay, let's have a little fun now. All right. Would y'all like to be like the pilgrims? Okay, number one. How many of y'all, I better not do it like this, that's incriminating. You just think about it. How many of y'all had fun at Halloween this year? Did you have fun with the goose and the goblins? Oh, by the way, where are the goose and goblins in the Bible? Okay, all right. How many of y'all had fun at Easter? Did y'all hunt the Easter eggs? Where are Easter eggs found in the Bible? Out the window. Okay, all right, let's go for another one. How many of y'all had a good Christmas? Huh? Yeah. What about, did you have one of those pretty trees with all those lights and all those little sickles and all the little bears hanging down like our house? Anyhow, like Flora's house? Christmas? Trees? Where's that in the New Testament? Out! In fact, William Bradford, when they just came over on the Mayflower, they came over in November, and when December the 25th came around, they wanted everybody just to get out there and work and not celebrate Christmas. Where's Christmas found in the New Testament? Out. What are all of those? All of those are traditions. Traditions of man. And these guys said, you know what? We're not going to worship God that way. And because that's the way they worship God in England, they became illegal. Many of them were thrown into prison. Many of them lost their lands. Many of them were outcast. They were hunted as criminals and punished. So they went to Holland. And then I'll tell you more about Holland in a little bit. But you know what? As I begin to think about these guys, they really wanted to get serious with God. They wanted to pursue holiness. So that when the crooked man comes along, or when the immoral woman comes along, they're ready. They're ready. So you can see how that what you believe, that's the reason they were called separatists. Later, they were called Puritans because they purified. They were seeking to purify the church. Listen to what William Bradford, who was the governor, this is and wrote in of Plymouth Plantation. It is well known unto the godly and judicious how ever since the first breaking of the light of the gospel in our honorable nation of England, which was first the nation of whom the Lord adorned, therewith after the gross darkness of popery, which had covered and overspread the Christian world, what wars and oppositions ever since, Satan hath raised, maintained, and continued against the saints from time to time, in one sort or another, sometimes by bloody death or cruel torments, while others while imprisonments, banishment, and other hard usages, as being loathed his kingdom should go down. The truth prevailed, and the churches of God revert to their ancient purity and recover primitive order, liberty, and beauty. Let me just read that last phrase. What should the church do? Revert back to truth prevail. The churches of God revert to ancient purity and recover primitive order, liberty, and beauty. So what he's telling us here is they said it's time to check up. And listen, Ed has something else to teach us. Ed teaches us that our faith will be tested. Now, when our faith is tested, Real quickly. Five reasons why the pilgrims went to America. The Spanish treaty in Holland was coming to an end, and they thought the Spaniards were going to come down and take away the religious liberty and persecution would come. And then here's what's happening. The hardship of living in Holland. People begin to fall by the wayside. They said, let's find a place of easier living. Secondly, old age. Old age meaning so many of those who had established this purifying of the church are getting older. And so therefore, they need a place easier to worship. Old age. Number three, young people. You knew the young people were coming in there somehow. The young people, what was happening to them? Their parents were having to be taskmasters because of the harsh work, and now these young people were looking for ways out. Some of them joined the army, some of them took voyages, and others were taking on the nationality of the Dutch and intermarrying among the Dutch people, and they felt the church is no longer. And then number four, evangelization. Let's move to the new world. Move to the new world and spread the gospel. When this happens, hey, they said we got to find a new place. So what does Ed teach us? Ed teaches us the fear of the God is a matter of life and death. They left for these reasons, looking for a place of worship. But what they faced up with was a matter of life and death. Joshua said, when the children of Israel heard the whole congregation of Israel gathered together at Shiloh to go to war against them. So this is what's happening now in the course of this picture right here. Ed teaches us to fear God. We got to fear God because it's a matter of life and death. Kind of in conclusion this morning, what I want you to see is let's revert back just for a moment. What is the pattern that we're establishing for our children? Next slide is going to show us faith, morality, education, and liberty. This is the statue that is there in Plymouth, Massachusetts. Next slide. What you're looking at here is this person is morality. She is named morality. In the book, in her hand, she has a copy of the Ten Commandments around her neck. It's like the Urim and the Thummim. It's a symbolic thing of the Old Testament in which she is seeking God. Because if you got a plan, you got to have a plan if you're going to conquer the crooked men and the immoral women. If you don't have moral inside of you, you'll never have a civil government. And so our forefathers established it with civil government, but it all starts inside. If you're going to understand morality, then the next slide, please. The next slide says, and this is what's on either side of her, right below where you see her sitting. On one side, there's the prophet. On the other side, there is the evangelist. So what you have representation was, you took the covenant, the words of God, the Ten Commandments of the Old Testament, you took the prophets of God speaking to the men of God so that they would pursue holiness. The prophet stood strong and he spoke. But then you also had to have the evangelist. The evangelist is the one who proclaimed Jesus Christ. And so therefore, proclaiming the good news. If you're going to have morality inside, if you're going to have a civilization that's going to stand, you've got to have morality, and it begins inside of you. And you need the prophet, and you need the evangelist, bringing together the whole Bible so that we might have that path, pursuing holiness. Next slide. What you have here is the embarkation. This is when, and we'll have to deal with this at a later date, this is when they left Holland to come to America. There were many tears that were shed. They went for a place of worship. They were trusting it would be easier. People were getting older. Work was hard. The young people were getting away from the church. And they wanted to spread the gospel. They left so that there might be a better day. And today we have a path because of them. Next slide. As faith is before us, let's pursue holiness. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, in this season we do honor our forefathers who fought and led and helped bring independence. But Father, we go even before that to the pilgrims who came over and who established a way of life that affects us even today. Father, I pray that we will make a declaration of life, liberty, and the pursuit of holiness this year, 2013. And in our pursuit of holiness, God, let us have intelligence. Let us have discretion. Let us be able to deal with the crooked men, the evil men, and the immoral women as pronounced in Proverbs, so that we might be a purified congregation, so that we might be a purified people, and so that the homes might be pure in worshiping and serving God in holiness. So now, Lord, we pray your blessings on our country. We pray your blessings on the pastors and the churches of this area. We pray your blessings on this house right here and all the people that's in it. God, help us to pursue holiness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, we pursue it. Some of you may want to pursue this morning a path. You may want to give your life to Jesus Christ. We invite you to come and say, "Brother Robert, I want Jesus." That's all you have to say. We'll guide you. Others are pursuing holiness because you need a plan. You know about those people that Solomon talked about in Proverbs. And you need a plan. You need a plan today. I encourage you to hit the altar because God will give you a plan. You don't have to go to the altar, but sometimes it helps on bended knees. I do challenge us all to pursue our worship and holiness, even as prescribed in the New Testament. Let us be purified. Let us seek holiness. What's God telling you to do today? Prayer altar is going to be open. What's God want you to do? Let's stand together.